Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, everybody, we took this week off, but we're going to share one of our classic episodes. Enjoy.
On Infinite Films, brought to you by All Too Real 2 Podcast.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2 and our adventure into the Crisis on Infinite Films. Dun dun dun. This episode, we are covering the brilliant 1987 film, Superman IV, The Quest for Peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Directed by Sidney J. Fury, based on the DC Comics character Superman. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was created by Schuster and Siegel. Yeah, that's right. Siegel and Schuster. Anyways, and it stars Christopher Reeve, Gene Hackman, Margot Kidder, John Cryer as Lenny Luthor.
He stole the show, really.
Yes. Got Jackie Cooper in there. We already said Margot Kidder, but Muriel Hemingway.
Mm-hmm. The granddaughter, granddaughter of Ernest Hemingway, I think.
Yes. Yes. She is. So what happened in this flick here, Matt?
Nothing at all? No. No, it was kind of a simple plot. I didn't actually think it was that bad of a movie, to be honest. It was a little bit campy, you know, kind of a corny movie, but this kind of takes place like 87, so nuclear power was still pretty especially nuclear warheads was still kind of like a big public debate at that time. So most of the movie is about whether or not, you know, people should have nuclear weapons. So Superman basically vows to get rid of all nuclear weapons in the world after the President of the United States mentioned that he's going to basically take part in the arms race. And a lot of people were upset about that because they didn't want to, you know, keep stockpiling nuclear weapons. So he takes them. They fired these nuclear weapons in outer space, and he has this weird net that he cast. I don't know what the net's made out of, and stockpiles all of the nuclear warheads that are shot into space, and then he swings it into the sun and destroys all the nuclear weapons for some reason. I don't know how that works, because the sun is like 93 million miles away from Earth, so that's interesting.
Yes.
And sorry, I'm kind of...
No, it's fine. Trying to... Yeah, it's just... It's like, you know, Superman trying to get rid of all of the nuclear weapons is the main thrust of this movie.
Yeah, and Lex Luthor, he figures out a way to kind of get back at him. So he's tinkering with like some weird experiment, because they were at some museum and they found that like a single strand of Superman's hair was able to hold 1,000-pound something.
Yeah.
And then he cuts it. He cuts it with a bunch of
bolt cutters.
Yeah. That was somehow cut it, but mm-hmm. it can hold 1,000 pounds of whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's how it works, man.
Yeah.
Those were maybe they were kryptonite laced bolt cutters.
I don't think they were. They just looked like he'd bought them from the store or something like that.
And he walked into Ace Hardware and bought some bolt cutters.
Because I'm kind of jumping ahead, because Lenny breaks him out of prison, because not only was Lex Luthor like in jail, it was like this whole movie's really weird, because like he's literally like part of a chain gang, like okay, and they're doing something, and Lenny Luthor drives up to the work site, I guess, with his car blaring like 1950s rockabilly music, and he distracts the prison guards by showing off his cool car and lets them get in the car, but then as soon as they get in the car, he puts like the convertible thing up and locks the doors, and takes a remote control and then drives them off the dam or the canyon or whatever. Thought that it would kill them, but then they showed up and they were alive. So I'm like, oh, okay, so it's this kind of movie where people don't actually die. Okay. And then he got his uncle to, you know, escaped out of prison, and they went to whatever, live wherever, I don't know where the hell they live. And this movie's bad, actually. Now that I'm thinking about it,
yeah, it's the effects are the worst too. Like, I think Supergirl had better effects than this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Matt, this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little distracted, so I'm just trying to...
I can see.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's just kind of... So, okay, Lenny breaks him out. Then what happens?
Then that's when he finds out his weakness, his hair thing. He makes, like... He kind of like extracts a cell or something from the hair to create his own version of Superman. I don't know. He's not a scientist. There's no way that he was able to do this. He's a...
Well, in some ways he is a scientist. Oh, okay. And sometimes he... I don't know.
Well, I don't remember much of the first few movies, you know.
Yeah, I don't either. But I mean, in different interpretations from the comic books, he's either like a billionaire or he's a scientist or he's both.
Right. So like he has like this little like bio thing or whatever, and he puts it on one of the nuclear warheads, because he like called like this meeting of all these people who are like war profiteers, and basically said like, hey, I know how you guys can start making money again. Let me use one of your warheads and I'll put this on here, and Superman will get the biggest surprise of his life. So Superman puts that thing into the sun, and then out comes this guy named Nuclear Man that, you know, Lex Luthor gave him that name, and he's supposed to be like kind of like a clone of Superman, but he's not really a clone.
Yeah, and he's got Lex Luthor's voice.
Yeah, that's right. Somehow. And he's just pretty much like he's just shooting off energy because he's literally like powered from the sun. So that sets up the kind of like, you know, he's going to be Superman's villain for this movie. And he's kind of cool. He's kind of that. He's kind of a corny villain, but he's not, you know, he's all right. And he shoots out like, and for some reason his fingernails are long. I'm not sure why, but that's just how he was born, I guess. So he's born with long fingernails, and they get longer throughout the movie for some unexplained reason too. And
it's because his mom, which he didn't have, is part cat.
There you go.
That's my theory on it.
Right. And what else? What else?
Or a nail technician.
Nail, yeah. Oh. I'm kind of skipping. Okay, well, that was weird. Okay, yeah, there's also the thing about the newspaper. This rich guy's trying to buy out the news Daily Planet to do, like, sensational, like, basically fearmonger people.
Yeah, kind of like clickbait before clickbait.
Right, yeah.
more like National Enquirer headline sort of stuff. Like, you know, like one of the headlines was Superman. It was basically like Superman tells kid to fuck off, but I can't remember exactly what it didn't say that.
No, he said drop dead.
Yeah.
He said drop. Yeah, because the this classroom was having the president, you know, back in the 80s, you know, they actually would like bring the TV in to a classrooms whenever the president would like make a speech. Nowadays, I hope they don't do that. I hope they just don't let them make him listen to him at all. But like back then, they would do that.
Why do you say that?
Because
our president, yeah. Our president is very Lex Luthor like.
Yeah, but not in a cool way. But like, yeah. Not in a smart way, but or even in the funny way. But that dry wit. But
more in a scary way.
Yeah. More of a nuclear man way, yes. Just very unstable. Anyway, so you know, the teacher's like, you know, don't be upset, you know, try to be positive. You know, how about we write to our Congress people, and they're like, oh, well, that's not gonna do us any good or whatever. And then there's this kid staring out the window. They're like, hey, Jeremy, what do you think we should do? And he's like, I know what we should do. We should write a letter to Superman. Like, he says it like that, too. I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. And,
you know, Jeremy spoke in class today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, his name was Jeremy.
Yeah. If... inspired the Pearl Jam song.
I wonder if, yeah. And he had a picture of Superman that he drew on his, like, paper, so he's kind of, like, obsessed with him. So then he writes a letter to Superman, and Superman, I guess, just tells him that, you know, he can't do something like that, just, like, take all the nuclear weapons away. So then somehow the newspaper got hold of that, so then they put out the headline saying Superman tells Jeremy drop dead or something like that.
And yeah, then, fuck off.
Yeah, Jeremy. So then like that kind of put him like in a tough spot then, because now he's, you know, people are like turning, you know, the public opinion is turning against Superman for that kind of thing. And God, there's lots of stuff happening, like a lot of goofy things, like this is not a serious Superman movie at all. Like it's very the Hulk. Wow, it's funny.
Yeah,
it's very low stakes. Like nobody dies in this movie, as far as I know. Nobody really gets like hurt that much.
Yeah, I mean it's like it's serious in certain ways, like where the topic. And I think Christopher Reeve wanted it to be more serious because he had a lot in the development of the script. He had a hand in it. Because he was very much against nuclear weapons and stuff of that nature, which, you know, most people should be. But anyways, I don't know.
Yeah.
Unless you like him, Matt. I don't know.
No, I'm not a fan of nuclear weapons.
Just making sure.
Pretty sure that's a very easy stance to take.
I didn't want
to. You know what? I'm not a fan of nuclear
weapons. And if any of my friends out there, fans and friends and fans of
our
friends of the podcast, are fans of nuclear weapons. Superman says fuck off.
Whoa.
Wait, what?
Like, that's got to be, like, the most, like, you know, low-stakes, like, position to have. Like, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here. You know, I'll admit, you know, I might be a minority here. Not a fan of nuclear weapons.
No.
Hey, shoot me, okay? And shoot me, you know?
Like, and then they shoot you with a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm dead, so.
Yeah. It's like, yep, you know, not really a big fan of the Nazis.
Well, they nowadays.
Nowadays, that's not necessarily as.
Yeah.
But then again. I didn't think I'd ever have to say that people are fans of Nazis.
Right.
So maybe people are fans of the nuclear weapons out there.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you are, give us a review on the Apple Podcast and let us know.
We're going to get a bad one.
I don't care. Yeah. At least we'll have one.
Oh. Ooh. Nice.
I'm joking.
Zing. Self-zing.
Yep. I'm going to cry now.
It's okay, Mike. It's all right. It's okay. Just keep drawing that eye. That's a good drawing. I like that. That's
nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm. I wish I wrote down what happened because I'm like blanking on the plot now.
Let me pull it up because I'm kind
of
blanking.
Clark goes through a whole like a lot of klutzy stuff in this movie, even more so than like the
previous movies.
Yeah. So he's still doing that to like kind of like prove that he's not Superman, I guess. Also, too, because there's one point where he has to be in the same place.
At the same time.
Yeah, both Clark and Superman.
Yeah.
So he has to keep excusing himself somehow so he can, like, walk in the room as Clark. And then suddenly he's got to go away, and then Superman shows up in the other room, and like, so there's lots of that going on. Lenny Luthor is hilarious. He talks kind of weird, though. He's got like a weird,
like a surfer dude, man.
Kind of like a California, like stereotypical 80s California accent.
By John Cryer,
who now plays Lex Luthor in the Supergirl TV series on the CW.
So. And I'm going to go, this is something I'm actually going out on a limb for. Because I know there are people that are fans of Michael Rosenbaum. There are people that are fans of Gene Hackman here and of other incarnations of Lex Luthor. John Cryer is the best Lex Luthor there has ever been on film or TV.
You heard it there.
And if you have a problem with that, please write us.
Just any kind of attention, you know, would just be good.
I like attention. It's you
any
know,
kind's fine. Yeah, just, you know.
Yeah, just go ahead and, you know, write me and tell me that my mama dresses me funny. My mama hasn't dressed me in a long time, and I never called her mama.
Yeah, that's true.
And
I mean, I wouldn't know that you wouldn't call her mama.
No, I just called her mom. Sometimes Melinda. Like when she wouldn't listen to me, like when I was in the store one day.
Oh, wow.
No, because I was like, Mom, Melinda. And then she turned around.
Like, wait, my name.
Yeah. Yep. So.
Oh, good times.
You know what's weird, though? See, not a lot. Pretty much all of I described is pretty much the whole movie.
Yeah, because, I mean, you got the whole thing. Basically, okay, Muriel Hemingway's character is the daughter of the guy that buys the thing. Mm-hmm. And she has this huge crush on Clark. One time she sits seductively on her desk for no reason whatsoever, except for to seduce him, basically.
And it looks so awkward because there's still a bunch of papers
and
files
like
on
knickknacks and everything on the fucking desk, and it's just like, okay.
Very odd.
It's like, oh, you just caught me laying on my desk for no fucking reason. Like,
yeah,
like
does
what
not
the hell?
Look natural at all.
No.
Oh, man.
I can't imagine a point in my life when I've ever been at a job where there's been a manager with a desk or something, then I walked in and they'd be laying on top of their desk for any reason whatsoever.
Like, hey, Mike, can I talk to you for a minute? He's got his hand on his, hey, how you doing?
So, yeah, I was going to ask you to go take care of this thing over here. Wait. What are you doing, Nick? What the hell? No.
You know, resting his head on his elbow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure you could file a sexual harassment suit there against against Muriel Hemingway's character.
It was 87. It was the culture.
Yes.
Lots of cocaine at those newspapers.
I don't even think cocaine explains sitting on your desk like that.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, God. This movie.
Yeah. Tell you what, I did not hate it, though.
No, I didn't hate it either. I actually don't... I remember liking this movie as a kid. Mm-hmm. My favorite of the Superman movies is the other one that people don't like is Superman 3, which is the one with Richard Pryor. That's just because he was funny, and I had a poster of it hanging on my wall in my bedroom as a kid. So,
isn't that the one where they were trying to hack into phone numbers or something like that? Or
yeah, well, they were doing a thing where they were taking money, the leftover percentage of things.
The Office Space.
The scheme that they use in Office Space.
Did they mention
it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's where.
I didn't know if that was if that guy was just joking when he said that.
No, that's the actual scheme of the movie. Yeah. We should cover that one sometime for the podcast. Anyways, I mean, and a little background here on the movie before we go more into the plot. I just, you know, this movie had a a budget of $17 million, I'm sorry, and made only $15.6 million at the box office. And so the budget was really low even for then. I mean, mind you, I would love to have $17 million to make a movie. And if anybody out there would like to fund a movie, we can do whatever kind of movie you want for $17 million, except for porn. Anyways,
I don't think a porn would cost $17 million, but...
It'd be the best porn ever, I bet you. I mean, I'm just saying. Better be for that cost of money. The the movie was like the first three and Supergirl were produced by the Salkinds, which were a father and son producing duo. And this one, they sold the rights to produce this to Canon Films, which are known for their bad films, basically. I mean, they made Masters of the Universe and a bunch of other movies. But, you know, if you ever want to see a really great documentary about them, watch Electric Boogaloo, the Canon film story. It's great. Anyways, but they did, I mean, they did Break-In 1 and 2, and they did, that's the way it was.
They also did those Delta Force movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did all the sequels to the Death Wish movies.
Oh, wow.
They didn't do the first one, but they did all the sequels.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, and a bunch of other cheesy action films, and they would reuse sets from one movie to another in the Roger Corman sort of style. But anyways, it's just interesting to know that. Do you want to take a little break here, Matt? And
yeah.
Then we'll come back and we'll get more into the plot, and then we'll talk about some other things here.
Yeah.
But here's some words from our super sponsors. See what I did there, Matt?
Uh-huh.
Super sponsors.
Super, yeah.
We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Michael E. Cullen II from the podcast that you're listening to right now, along with
manager Matthew Haas.
You got promoted?
Yes.
Damn it. Okay, anyways, folks, do you like the show Superstore? I don't know. I asked the folks and nobody's answering me.
Well, because they're not here.
Oh,
but we love
damn
it.
Yeah, we love it, though. Okay, folks, if you like it as much as we do, you're really going to like the Super Story podcast, which is a podcast where Matthew and I go episode by episode and give our little opinions and thoughts on it. Sometimes we have guests, sometimes we don't. Just depends on how we're feeling.
Yeah.
And, so if you like this podcast and like our little crazy banter,
then you should definitely check this out, or I might get sad. And when I get sad, it gets pretty sad. Yeah, so
I can't deal with him when he's sad.
Yeah, no one can really. So
yeah. So check out Super Story Podcast right here where you get this podcast, Super Story Podcast.
And we are back.
Mm-hmm.
How are you, Matt?
I'm doing all right.
Why am I talking so low?
Because you don't want to wake the neighbors.
Shh. Okay. Anyways, neighbors be damned. Damned, I tell you.
True. Damn them. No, don't.
No.
They're good people.
I assume. I don't know. I don't really know any of them. But anyways, because we don't know our neighbors anymore these days.
No, we don't.
No.
That's sad.
And sometimes it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine?
Sometimes.
Won't you be mine?
Ugly day in the neighborhood, though, too, so.
There's those times.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's just a, day in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Most days. So that was our philosophical discussion here about the world and neighborhoods. And if you would like more of that, you can tune into our new podcast, All Two, with Matt and Mike. Anyways, So, one day we'll actually create these podcasts.
Yeah, these multiple 75 versions of series or whatever.
Yeah. All Two.
All Two. All Two. We have one here called All Two Flag. We just discussed the flags of each country and their history and symbolism.
Or we just make up a history and symbolism
for them. Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah, we can do that as well.
Like, you know why there's the stripes on the American flag? Because all of our forefathers were barbers.
There you go. I believe that, actually.
And the stars are on there because one time a guy got his head hit really hard and all he could see was stars.
Yeah, that happens. So it's happened to me before, so I know.
Yeah, happens in cartoons all the time. Mm. Is this true, Matt?
No. Not even remotely.
I'll tell you what, if you guys want to find out if it's true or not, Google it. Mm. Okay, anyways.
Encarta it.
Bing it.
Yeah.
So, what else happened in this fucking movie?
Ah, shit. Well, Lois, she's like in heat or something because she's like, she really wants to bane Superman throughout the whole damn movie. I mean, she's like, you know, every time she interviews him, she's getting all hot and bothered. And at one point, she's preparing, like, kind of like cooking a turkey while she, and then she said something like, yeah, I just made a bunch of food just in case I get hungry afterwards. I mean, later. Like, it's like, okay. Afterwards, what?
After what?
Yeah, you know, and, and then, like, Mike was saying, the Hemingway's granddaughter, well, not the character, but the actress.
Yeah.
She likes, I kind of think that's kind of funny. She likes Clark, and then Lois likes Superman.
Yeah.
So it's, like, interesting personas, like, which one is attracted to, like,
yeah.
Type of thing. Like, so
it's
that,
like opposites attract or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of neat, that part of the story. Yeah, Nuclear Man, he's basically sent to try to destroy Superman. And they have this fight scene, which is kind of lame. Superman punches him in the back when they're flying in space. Nuclear
yes,
Man.
And I think the movie should have been called Back Punch.
Back Punch, yeah.
Back Punch the movie.
Back Punch, yes. Back Punch the movie. And he ends up, like, burying Superman on the moon by, like, punching him into the ground, basically. And then, you know, since Superman's powered through the yellow sun, he doesn't have any powers if he... Oh, no, also, too, because he ended up cutting him with his long fingernails that got longer, and then that cut, like, infected him, I guess.
And he got cat scratch fever.
Yeah, he did get cat scratch fever. And then he was all sick and tired and stuff like that. And,
his hair started turning white.
Yeah, he was aging, like, really rapidly. And throughout the movie, he's always holding, like, this little piece of Krypton, which by the movie they say is Krypton.
Well, that's so, what, Lara, the, Superman's mother says, or, you know, or Kal-El's mother says at the beginning of the movie. And by the way, Kal-El is, his Kryptonian name.
Yeah.
For those uninitiated into the world of Superman in DC comics. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Krypton, is where he's from. He's got this little green thing, and it's supposed to, like, be the last piece of Krypton. And, I'm gonna keep saying it like that. And that's it. Like, if he uses it, then that's it. He's depleted in the entire source of it. But he needs to use it finally because he's gonna die from that cut from Nuclear Man. So he uses it to rejuvenate himself. And, Lex Luthor thinks that Superman's finally dead. You know, he's gonna now become a war profiteer. He's gonna make billions of dollars, blah, blah, blah. And he scares his business partners off by, you know, saying that he's going to have Nuclear Man kill them if they don't leave. So now
and he demonstrates his power by having him set a $100 bill on fire.
Yeah, that was apparently scary enough to have them running away. So
that would scare the fuck out of me, man.
Yeah, so they ran away after Nuclear Man did that amazing feat. And
I bet you the budget on that effect right
there. Oh, the effects were so great in this movie, by the way. Like Nuclear Man's powers just shimmering and shit, and that fucking green orb that Clark has carrying around everywhere he's going. You could see the fucking trace marks over the goddamn thing. But speaking of that, strings everywhere. It's like you should call this String Man. I mean, it was so stupid.
You could see the wires that Christopher Reeve and the Nuclear Man dude were hanging from in certain scenes. It was just really bad.
It's bad. And so what happens? He thinks Superman's dead or he's gone or whatever, but then Superman comes back and then they have another fight scene in space again, and this time Superman traps Nuclear Man in the elevator, and then he just takes the elevator to the moon and then buries it. But then he didn't realize that Nuclear Man would get power again when the sun came to shine upon the moon. So then, once the sun came to the moon, then he got his powers back, then he broke out again, then they had another fight, and then he threw Nuclear Man into the nuclear power plant thing, And then that gave all the world a bunch of extra power because they showed, like, lights flickering and stuff, like an apartment or a building, you know, like sky-rise buildings. And like, oh, they got an extra jolt of power. Thanks, Nuclear Man. Sorry you had to die for that, but that was cool of you, I guess. And, I mean, it wasn't voluntary, but whatever. And I'm not really sure if Nuclear Man had a personality
or probably
he was
not.
Just like a robot, kind of.
I think he was just basically an automaton.
Like, he didn't actually have any feelings or... So it's okay. You don't gotta be sad, people. He died, but it doesn't matter. So, you know, don't feel bad for him. It's okay. Speaking of feeling bad. Speaking of feeling,
did he die?
Yeah, well, probably. I mean, he put him into a nuclear reactor, so I'm pretty sure. Or not reactor.
Would that kill somebody?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it does.
Are we sure?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of feeling bad, though, last night they're showing Batman Returns on, I forgot what channel. And I always get sad. I wasn't a huge fan of that movie, but, like, I always get sad at the end when Penguin dies, and then this penguins do, like, this funeral march to, and I knew it was going to happen. I'm like, don't watch it, because you're going to get sad. You always get sad when this happens, because the penguins, you know, the penguins walk all, like, you know, gingerly, and they're like, our penguin leader died, you know, and I always get sad. I'm like, I know it. And then sure enough, here they come marching down this ice road, and then they just, you know, gently push his body into the water, and here I go, little tear, you know, just dropping from my eye, you know, because the penguin died. So, you know, that was sad.
I like penguins.
Yeah.
They're my favorite animal.
Yeah. So what happened with Batman Returns? I know it's a different movie, but, like, I never understood this. How did he control the penguins? Did he microchip them, or what was the deal? Like, how was he controlling the penguins?
I don't remember.
Okay,
it's been years since I've seen that movie, so I
was just wondering, because they had rockets strapped to them at one point. I don't know, and it was weird. It was weird. This was a weird time for superhero movies, people. Like, yes, people. Ooh.
Okay,
people. I'm such a...
people.
I'm an important person here. No, but, like...
Listen to Matthew.
This was such a weird time for those movies, because, like, the plots were just really weird and like, hard to follow, and, like, half serious, but half really, like... jokey, like, it's just like a, like, it's not like the new stuff where it's like, you know what you're gonna get, like, you know, with the Guardians of the Galaxy, you're gonna get something that's like a comedy action, or if you know, like, the Avengers, you're gonna have Tony Stark cracking wise, you know, and that kind of thing. With these type of movies, you don't know what you're gonna get until you see it. You might get Superman 4, which is pretty much just a comedy, or you're gonna get Batman Returns. It's fucking depressing, where a deformed man dies and his penguin friends do a funeral march for him, so, you know, just have to roll the dice, I guess, with that. I don't know what I'm talking about right now. What else happened, Mike? I don't know. I can't follow this movie. I think that's it. I mean, pretty much
so.
That's pretty much what happened. Nuclear Man sucked. He wasn't a good villain. He died. Lex Luthor gets dropped back to the chain gang from whence he was rescued by Lenny.
Chain gang.
And then, like you said, it was kind
of
creepy.
Sound
because
the man working on the chain gang.
They don't like him singing Mozart, though.
But you like me singing, right?
No. Yeah, it's all right.
I have a beautiful voice.
Yeah, you know.
It's angelic.
Yeah.
I'm the
speaking voice.
I'm the songbird of my generation.
I'm by people who've heard me sing. I love that line. Boats and hoes. Oh, God.
Yeah. So the movie basically. Oh yeah. Did you talk about how Perry White basically bought back the newspaper?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so they kicked out the unscrupulous dude.
Mm.
I should say, not scrupulous, because scrupulous is right. That a word?
Well, I don't know if scruples is. I'm not sure. Yeah. Scrupulous probably is. Yes.
If not, I think I'm gonna become a DJ.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be a DJ and I'm gonna call myself DJ Scrupulous.
Ooh, okay.
Because I think I like that.
That's a good name, actually. I like that.
Yes. I have a friend who's a professional DJ. Maybe he can teach me how to do things, and then I can.
Yeah.
Just, you know, shout out to Jason Kelly.
Lots of talk.
DJ A. Anyways, yeah. Do you want to take another break, Matt?
Yes, please.
Yes, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back. And you know what we'll talk about then?
I think I know.
Take a guess.
You're gonna read reviews.
And trivia.
And trivia, okay.
Trivia and reviews.
All right.
Right after this.
Do it.
Hey, folks. This is Michael E. Cullen II from the podcast that you're listening to right now, along with
Matthew Haas.
We just wanted to tell you about our great, great podcast called Super. It's called All Too Real. And on that show, what do we do, Matt?
We watch biopics, and then we talk about whether or not the movie matched up with the real story or not.
So we
it was a lot more exciting than that, though.
Yeah, right? so we analyze the real story and the real story.
Get it?
Get it?
Real. You know?
Yeah, they're spelled differently, folks. Yeah. You can guess which one I said which way. Anyways, sometimes we have guests, sometimes we don't. But we talk about great movies like Shattered Glass,
yes,
and The Social Network and A Futile and Stupid Gesture, among others. Those are some of the ones that we've covered so far, and we're going to cover a lot more. So please subscribe on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you find your great, fun podcasts. And be sure to share it with your friends.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
And make sure you're not afraid to get all too real. Bye-bye.
And we are back. Back in black.
Back in black. Do.
Have I ever told you I don't really like AC/DC?
No, really?
Yeah.
Have I told you this? Pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump, pump, pump. Pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump, pump, pump. That's my new song, so.
I love it. I think we should charge people for it.
Yeah. $500 right there.
So what you should do is, if you liked that song, go to our Patreon and just give us a dollar.
Yeah, there you go.
That's all we're looking for. If you enjoyed that song, if you enjoy my voice, if you enjoy Matt's voice, and I promise we'll still continue to talk regardless. But please pay us, because we like money.
Yeah.
I think just sounded really...
I think it's great.
That sounded really, like, petty.
Yeah.
Like Tom.
Tom Petty.
Yes.
Rest in petty. Well...
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
You belong among the wildflowers.
So I just realized someone should do... I know it sounds really bad faith, bad humor, but someone should do, like, a Tom Petty tribute album,
yeah,
of, like, different artists,
mm-hmm,
and call it Rest in Petty.
Yes.
Might be seen as a little bit bad humor.
Or just call it pettiness.
Petty, there you go. And have, like, newer artists, too, like, covers. Like, not shitty new artists, but, like, good new artists, you know?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's not very many, but...
Like Harry Styles.
You know, maybe. He's actually not bad
He's
actor.
He's not. No, he was actually pretty funny on SNL.
Yeah, yeah. So, but get, like, you know... Avril, she's not really new, but, like, Avril Lavigne might be able to do a song...
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Taylor. I'm a first name basis with her. You know, Taylor can do it. Yeah.
Did you date her yet?
No,
I'm convinced because she needs to date everybody to write a new song. So that's
we never dated. No,
really not yet. I think you're penciled in for next Tuesday.
I don't think we're meant. We're just meant to be friends. I don't know.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. I never had that feeling.
I was just checking.
Yeah, I'm good.
She'll still write a song about
maybe.
You, though.
Yeah. Maybe a good one. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, this is to my good friend who wasn't mean to me.
And those are always the best songs.
Yes, and
they're so full of heart.
He wasn't, you know, he didn't complain about the friend zone because I wouldn't screw him for being nice to me one day. I don't know. I'm not really good at rhyming, but that's a new song, though. So,
if you like that song, folks, please check out our Patreon and support us. You know, for a dollar a month.
I'll write new songs just like this.
Yes.
I'll just sing
you
them.
Can get... Tell you what.
$1 a month, Matt will write you 4 new songs a month.
Yeah, I will.
And we'll start... You know, the thing is, if we start to get a dollar, I'll make the show weekly. Because we're only every other week right now.
Right, that's true.
And then our other podcasts are coming out whenever I feel like it.
Right. Right.
Have, this is the only one we keep on a regular basis.
We got 4, okay, people? Come on. You know.
We only have 3.
I thought we had 4. No. Well, this is a series.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is part of this.
I got you.
This is still part of All Too Real.
Okay.
2.
All right.
Yeah.
But come on. That's a lot. That's a lot of people, you know, to keep up on. So let's, you know, have a little faith in us, but.
Gotta have faith. Gotta the faith. Oh, gotta have faith. The faith.
Speaking of, like, incels, like, I'm not saying he was an incel, but, like, speaking of incels, because I was saying that the Taylor Swift song that she's going to write for me in my fictional universe is thanking me for not being a nice guy, trademark, capital N, capital G, but there's a show called Evil. You ever heard of that show?
Yeah.
It's got the guy who plays Luke Cage. He plays this guy who works for the Catholic Church. I'm sorry, I don't know his name. I'm not good with actors' names unless they're like big time actors like Gene Hackman or whatever. I'm not good at like. I know it's bad. Yeah. Like I have like a hierarchy of needs here where it's like subconsciously I just feel like I should memorize actors' names unless they're like super super big. I know that's like that's not meant to be an insult. It's just like my brain learns so much information every day that like I have to like at some point make priorities about like what. What can I not remember today?
Well, it's like I was talking with a friend of mine the other day about the fact that I just have meaningless information in my head, and I kind of, you know, I don't know when.
Right.
So just tell me this, Matt. When in the world is it going to be beneficial to the fact that I know that Catherine Hicklin was married to David Hasselhoff? I just blanked on his name.
Wow.
I blanked on the Hoff, man. Okay. Married to David Hasselhoff at one point. And then, later on, she married actor Michael E. Knight. David Hasselhoff had played Michael Knight on Knight Rider.
Right.
But then there was the 2000s reboot of Knight Rider. And David Hasselhoff's son was played by Justin Bruning, who had previously played Michael E. Knight's son on All My Children.
Wow. Mind blown.
So, I know this. How in the fuck is that going to get me anywhere in life?
What if you're on a game show and that would be a question for one of the, you know, like $1,000 question. So that could be, who knows?
Yes.
Maybe. But yeah, I hear you. So, I don't know these actors' names, unfortunately. I know that he was in Luke Cage, which, you know, in my opinion, was criminally canceled when I thought it was a great show. But whatever. He's in this new show called Evil where he works for the Catholic Church to basically ascertain whether or not someone's actually possessed by a demon or if they're just, like, psychologically damaged in some way. So he's a believer. He's, you know, he works for the church and he believes in, you know, actual like demonic possessions and exorcisms and stuff like that. So anyway, speaking of incels though, there was an episode last week on Thursday where it was this guy, he's at a coffee, like there's this guy, he's basically like a demon or he's like just a Satan, like a, I don't want to throw Satanists under the bus because Satanists are actually pretty cool when it comes to like human rights and stuff like that in this country. So, you know, we're kind of living a topsy-turvy world here, but okay. Because they promote like, you know, racial equality, you know, gender equality, but you know, they're supposed to be the bad guys. But okay. And, he's like a demon worshiper or something like that. And he's also like a psychiatrist. So he's always like trying to, cause like, bad things to happen in the world by like influencing people and you know to do bad things or whatever. So he's hanging out in this coffee shop just having his coffee or whatever, and there's like this younger guy who's like getting a muffin or whatever, and he's got a crush on one of the baristas there, and like she gave him like a cute little nickname like Mr. Blueberry Muffin or something like that. And, you know, he's like, trying to get up the guts to ask her out or whatever. And he's all, like, you know, nervous and shy. Like, hey, you know, I just kind of feel weird. But, you know,
would you want to go out sometime or whatever? And then she's like, oh, well, I, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm in a relationship right now. And then he kind of mumbles something like, well, why be nice to me if you don't want to date me or something like that? And then, like, so he, as he's walking out, that psychiatrist dude who's, like, a demon guy or whatever, he, like, starts, like, feeding all this, like, you know, like, you know, basically, like, you saw what she did to you and all, you know, this whole, like, you know, basically, like, trying to fuel his anger or whatever. Like, you know, saying, like, that's what women do. They tease you and they, you know, whatever type of thing. And then, like, he asks, I'm just telling the whole episode.
I know.
I'm sorry, guys, if you haven't seen this. That's just one part of the episode, mind you. This is a weird episode because we're talking about Superman 4.
Yeah.
And somehow it went to Batman Returns.
Do we want to get to the trivia of Superman 4?
Can I just finish it?
Yeah, go ahead. Finish
really
it.
Really quick.
Yeah.
So he like, is egging this guy on to, like, basically get revenge because the woman wouldn't go out with him because she was
as you do. Wait,
show.
No.
And then he goes, you know, she crapped on you, so you should crap on her. And this guy kind of, like, he's got that kind of, like, literal type of thing. So he literally, like, pooped in the box, presented it to her at the coffee shop, wrapped in, like, a nice little gift box, and then walked away. And then you hear her screaming after, because he pooped in the box and gave it to her gift. But so I said, speaking of incels, because he pretty much got that incel personality, you know, character, you know, type, you know, like, oh, you know, this cute girl gave me a nickname at the coffee shop where she works at, probably to pass the time and the monotony of the job. So she comes up with these cutesy little nicknames to pass the time. But in my mind, I'm thinking, no, it's because she wants to go out with me. But then she said no, so now I'm going to poop in a box and I'm going to give it to her.
I really hope you don't do that, Matt.
I would never do that.
I know, good.
Ever.
Because you were just saying you when you said that. And
well,
the,
no, I'm
you know,
just saying,
talking,
like,
about the character.
Talking
character.
About the character. Okay, you know,
I was just making sure you don't do that.
I wouldn't, no. I would never do that. I mean.
And if you give us $1 a month, Matt will promise not to do that.
I mean, you don't got to do that at all because I'll just.
But please, give us $1 a month.
Well, yeah, but if you don't, I'm still not going to poop in a box. So it's
and I promise you I won't either.
Well, okay. That's good.
Nobody will.
Nobody will. Nobody who's sane will.
No.
I'm telling you that much right now. So. And you know who played that guy, the guy who pooped in the box, the actor. All right, so there's a Walking Dead season 3 or season 4, don't remember which one, season 4. He's only in one episode, and he has the flu, or so, you know, because there a big outbreak broke out. Really, an outbreak broke out. That's kind of whatever redundant, but a lot of people got sick. So. He was the first one that got sick, and he took a shower because he thought that would make him feel better. But then he died when he took the shower, and then he turned into a zombie, and then he bit someone, and then that caused the whole thing to happen. Same actor. I don't know why this is important. For some reason that I had to tell this episode of Evil Thursday nights, 10 o'clock, CBS.
Evil.
I'm getting paid to say this by CBS.
And CBS, if you'd like to pay us $1 a month... We will promote Evil on every episode of our show.
It's true. All right, so Superman 4.
Okay.
Which is what you came here for. Oh, I like that.
You came here for Superman 4.
Woohoo!
I don't know what that was. Anyway, so here's a few little bits of trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Christopher Reeve publicly regretted his involvement in this film. He stated Superman 4 was a catastrophe from start to finish. That failure was a huge blow to my career. According to Margot Kidder, she and Christopher Reeve did not get along during filming. Kidder states that Reeve's ego was inflated by his because he co-wrote the story. At one point, Wes Craven was set to direct the film. Yes, Nightmare on Elm Street and Scream, Wes Craven. But was replaced after creative differences with Christopher Reeve. The failure of this film at the box office prompted the Cannon Group to cancel a planned production of Spider-Man.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they were supposed to do Spider-Man at one time. The movie's original budget was $36 million. Just before filming was to begin, the Cannon Group Incorporated was experiencing financial problems, slashed the budget to $17 million. The filmmakers cut corners by doing things like reusing special effects.
Richard Donner, who had directed Superman 1 and was fired from Superman 2, was offered the director's chair. He declined, you know, for obvious reasons, probably. Stuntman John Lees suffered a career-ending injuries while working on the moon scenes, leading to a subsequent court case. Probably didn't get anything because you can't really, you know, get blood from a stone, you know? Anyways, unless you hit somebody in the head with it.
Whoa.
Wait, what? When Nuclear Man was being developed, Christopher Reeve was approached to play the part as well, as a polar opposite or like a bizarro Superman. As we stated before, John Cryer played Lenny in this film and then later went on to play Lex Luthor in Supergirl. Christopher Reeve agreed to do this movie only if the studio financed his project Street Smart. Nuclear Man only has 11 lines. The actor who played Nuclear Man, this is his only film appearance, and his name is Mark Pillow.
That's a cool name.
Mark Pillow. I think I'm going to change my name to Mark Pillow.
There you go.
Yep, no. No, I think I'll stick with Mike. Anyways, Mike Pillow. Ooh. Anyways, Okay, according to his biography, Superman 2 director Richard Lesser was offered the chance to direct the movie but declined it. It is unknown whether Richard Donner was asked first or he was. Supergirl is not mentioned anywhere during the film, even though she had been in a film previously of this. This is the only Superman film from this Christopher Reeve era where Clark Kent changes to Superman in a phone booth. The Superman films made since this film have not featured this signature scene yet. So, no changing in a phone booth.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah, according to Mark Pillow, he found Christopher Reeve to be quite an intense person during the shooting. However, Pillow stated what a joy it was to work alongside Gene Hackman. I don't know. Let's see what else we got. I did read somewhere that going out of the coming into the premiere of the movie, John Cryer said that Christopher Reeve pulled him aside right before the movie and said, "This is a disaster."
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. So he wasn't too confident in it. Mm. Should I read some reviews now, Matt?
Yeah, why don't you go right ahead?
Hey, you know what I'll do?
What?
Just take a guess.
And you're going to read some reviews.
How'd you know that?
Because you just told me.
Oh, shit. I thought maybe you were psychic.
Maybe a little bit, but...
So, this first one is from somebody called KMM. They said... It's a 1 out of 10 review here. Should have been titled Superman 4 Rest in Peace. Instead of Quest for Peace.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, anyways. So, the movie never should have been released. This movie is at the opposite end of the spectrum as far as favorites go for me. The 1978 original is one of my all-time favorite films. While sitting through this one at the movies was like getting a root canal without the Novocaine. Special effects were horrible, as well as the character development and plotline. How could any studio head or those involved with the final print of this film feel comfortable with the finished project? Talk about a film that rode on the popularity of its predecessors and failed to live up to any expectations that fans of the earlier film had. This movie certainly was the nail in the coffin as far as Christopher Reeve Superman films go. Obviously, it's the last one, but anyways. And for what it's worth, I fall in the category that feels Superman 3 was better than this mess, a waste of celluloid. You know, if my last name was Lloyd, I'd name my kids Celia. 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 Lloyd. Anyways, okay, so... let's see if we can find any good reviews. All right, I found a good one here, Matt. Want to hear it?
Yes.
Here it goes. This is from Daniel C. Bartlett in October of 2008. 10 out of 10. Masterpiece. Have we all been watching the same movie? In a franchise that was, until this point, fairly average, finally somebody decided to make a movie that was true to the comic books. From the moment the opening credits rolled, I was convinced I was witnessing a film worthy of the best film Oscar. This is probably a joke.
Yeah, it sounds delusional.
Yeah. Either he's delusional or he's being sarcastic. Perhaps the fact it wasn't even nominated will remain the greatest oversight in filmmaking history. High points. A villain that offered evilness personified, campiness, and humor all rolled into one. Chris Reeve really excelling in a script finally worthy of the role in wonderful reprisal from Gene Hackman. Low point. Ended too damn soon. LOL. Cinematography was exceptional. I really believed Superman was flying. Music was spot on, as always, so no change there. How Superman 4 is so unpopular will always remain a mystery to me. I rate it 5th in my top 5 after Godfather, Seven Samurai, Rear Window, and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Pure cinema, pure genius, pure Superman as he was intended. Stop everything and watch this movie. Faultless. 10 out of 10. So, yeah, I'm not reading anymore. Because that one just broke me, man.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on this? Would you recommend this movie to anybody, Matthew?
Yeah, I think I would, actually. It's a fun movie.
Yeah, I think it's a fun watch, actually. Yeah. I didn't find it as bad as some of the other movies we've watched. It's better than Supergirl.
Mm.
You know, better than other movies. Better than Howard the Duck.
Much better.
Yes.
Yes.
So,
a lot better.
There was nobody taking Toot in this movie.
No Toot. I've been thinking about Toot all week because of that. Because you uploaded it, and I kept thinking, like, I gotta stop taking Toot. Don't know what it is, but...
Just get off the Toot.
Mm-hmm.
Darn tootin'. Anyways, make sure, as I've told you before, folks, check out our Patreon. You know, got some good stuff there, maybe. We also have a lot of good. We also have a lot of cool stuff. We're gonna be uploading some more designs. If you want to have some cool T-shirts, you know, because I mean, it's getting cold out there, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's getting warm out there. I don't know. Depends on when I'm uploading this. I'm assuming it'll probably be in the winter.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's getting cold, folks. So you got to put some clothes on your body.
Mm.
Start out with a T-shirt.
Start with a T-shirt, move on to a sweatshirt.
Yeah, we have those too.
To a sweater.
Yeah.
And to a coat. Well, we don't make coats, but...
But, you know, I think there's stickers on there. You could put that on the back of your coat.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
Get some All Too Real 2 stickers, mm-hmm. Put them on your coat.
All Too Real Toot. There you go.
Yeah, and you'll be the greatest tootin' pertin' out there. Pertin'?
Pertin'.
Be the greatest pertin' out there, man. I love me some pertins.
Yep.
They're you know, I like cool pertins. What's wrong with me, Matt?
What's wrong with any of us?
I know.
Right?
I don't think we have the time to discover what's all wrong with
me. Probably not.
I'll just go talk to my therapist about it. And
there you go.
Yep.
Do it.
That'll be good. And for now, though, make sure you give us ratings, follow us on all the good social media, and like I said before, check out our TeePublic and our Patreon. And for right now, I think we're done. Bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.